Another endearingly shambolic podcast from WeDigPodcasts.com.
You're listening to Free With This Month's Issue. As always, please support the bands and artists featured in each episode by buying their records and going to their gigs. Each episode we'll be adding all available tracks to our ongoing Spotify playlist, which you can find on WeDigPodcasts.com. You can also find our other episodes and podcasts there. If you want to agree with us, or more likely argue with us, or even appear in a future episode, you can find us on Twitter at This Month's Issue and Facebook at Free With This Month's Issue. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, then let people know. Like, subscribe, review it on iTunes, tattoo it on your forehead, etc. Right, let's get on with it then.
Welcome to Free With This Month's Issue, the show where we talk about free magazine CDs.
Yeah, from magazines.
Yes. Obviously, the CDs themselves were free, but you had to buy the magazine. Otherwise,
unless there was nobody looking. Not that I've ever done that.
I really sure want that CD, people. But I just don't want to buy uncut ever.
Well, you used to get the thing saying, if this CD has been stolen, ask your newsagent. So somebody must be doing it. Otherwise, they wouldn't print that on there.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
But they weren't stealing the magazine. They were just stealing the CD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, that might be a good idea.
Music is better than reading. Fairly often. On this month's episode, we have Leah.
Yes.
Hello, Leah.
Leah Fitzsimmons.
Hi.
Hello.
What are you? What do you do?
I'm a reasonably well-paid PR girl.
There we go.
Essentially.
Fair enough. You're also a doctor, though, but you weren't when we first met you, which was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
obviously.
Yeah, I've stayed at university for a very long time.
You just didn't want to leave.
Actually, the opposite. Absolutely hate the place. Full of
Are you being held
terrible
against
people.
Your will? Do we need to get the police?
No, because they are paying me now, so that's
cool.
That's an improvement.
Excellent. Okay. What CD have you brought along for us?
I have brought the REM Collection Disc 2 from Uncut, August 2005.
It is, yeah.
Did both discs come in one episode, or was
no.
it?
So,
okay.
So, I was going to get onto that. This is an absolute fucking dick move by Uncut Magazine. Yeah. There were three free CDs that month.
What? So
if
you
wanted all of them,
magazine,
you had to buy the same magazine three times.
Fuck you, Uncut Magazine.
Absolute fuck. I've seen it before where they've got different covers.
And yeah, yeah.
Most people are going to be like, okay. And
I don't
but
really
three
care.
CDs.
Yeah, that's asking people to steal the CD, isn't it?
It is. I think it's fucking justified in that case.
I'm going to stick all three to the one magazine and go, what?
I remember getting a Metal Hammer magazine that had at least two CDs stuck
100%,
to it.
100%.
Yeah.
In a bag with a yeah. free poster as well.
Uncut didn't do that, did you?
Stickers. Fucking stickers.
Yeah, but I also, I think about the same time, bought a magazine that you got a free bikini with and you could get different bikinis.
Okay. That seems a little bit more niche.
I don't know.
I feel like, honestly, the amount of women that may want bikinis in summertime is greater
Probably
than the amount of people that want free REM CDs.
That's true. That is a fair point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
But how did...
But they were all one size, so...
Right, yeah.
Nah. It was...
Whereas people aren't.
No.
As notorious fascist Morrissey once said, some girls are bigger than others. But he's a cunt now, so let's...
I think he always has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a different flavour.
Yeah, yeah. The level's been consistent. Yeah.
Indeed. Did you regularly buy Uncut Magazine?
No.
Did you just buy it for the CD then, or... Did you just steal it?
Yeah, I was trying to remember, actually. It was hanging out in... who says hanging out? Being in the pub and then going past HMV and buying something.
Right.
So I probably got to the point where all of the CDs that they regularly had for £3 or £5 I already owned.
Right.
So I graduated onto...
I'll get that magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
CD for under £5.
So, I mean, what made you choose to get the Michael Stipe curated CD rather than the Mike Mills or Peter Buck? Or was it just the first one you picked up?
I mean, this may surprise you, but I think I've been in the pub all afternoon.
Fair enough.
And I'm pretty certain it was the brightest coloured CD of the three, the kind of orange.
It was the yellow one rather than the red one.
Or the blue one,
or
I think.
The black. Oh, right. One was.
Oh, see, I'd have definitely bought the black one. Obviously.
So if you'd have bought the black one, you could have had in it had a Smog track in there. You have in another podcast mentioned that you very much do not like Smog. Oh, it's also got Stephen Malkmus, who you've also previously hated.
No, no, see, I didn't hate Stephen Malkmus. I hated the fact that his band was called The Jicks, because I don't know what the fuck a jick is. Enough. Also, he said, "Go Johnny, go," in his lyrics, yeah. And just no.
But he did have Lazy Line Painted Jane by Ben Sebastian, which you'd also hate, but he's fucking brilliant.
Ben Sebastian are terrible. That's probably why I didn't get that one.
Pretty fucking sad if I'd have bought any of those. Oh well.
Mike Mills.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to enjoy this. I'm sorry.
The Mike Mills one's got some good stuff on there. Again, that probably not stuff you'd dig. It's got I Will Dare by The Replacements, which is fucking ace. It's got Soul Asylum on there.
See, I like Soul Asylum.
I know you do.
Which song is it though?
Closer to the Stars.
Oh, I've not heard that one.
I think it was
on the second album that
it was on
no one knows
While You Were Out from 1986.
Jesus.
So that's before the one with Runaway Train on.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an earlier one.
Soul Asylum, one of those bands that you forget didn't do more than did do more than two albums.
Like. Yeah. I can only think of the one album cover, which is the one with Runaway Train on it that definitely has a different title, but I don't know what it is.
Oh, me neither.
It's got a green cover. But anyway.
Yeah, it's the one with somebody to shove on it.
Yes.
Or someone to shove, which is a fucking great track.
So, August 2005, what was happening in the world of music? The UK number one single was You're Beautiful by James Blunt.
Oh.
The UK number one album was Back to Bedlam by James Blunt. Oh. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. I honestly don't like James Blunt's music, but I do like James Blunt as a person.
On Twitter, yeah. He's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, in person as well. Like, I've seen him interviewed and he comes across beautifully.
He's got a very good sense of humour. But
yeah, well, he's an ex-squaddy, isn't he? So, like, they're pretty bulletproof, resilient to these kind of things. Not bulletproof as in to actual bullets.
As a squaddy, that would be very useful.
Fucking super useful. You wouldn't be an ex-squaddy at that point, would you? No. Like, no, you can't leave, Mr. Blunt. I don't care if she's beautiful. It's true. You're bulletproof, so you're going at the front.
But it might be why he claims that his life is brilliant. But yeah.
I think his life is brilliant, though.
It is.
He's a fucking millionaire.
Yeah. There's no justice in the world, is there?
No.
The albums released in August 2005 were Goggle Bordello, Gypsy Punk's Underdog World Strike, which is fucking brilliant.
Is that the one we start wearing purple on?
It is indeed.
Then it must be good.
And Dogs Were Barking.
Nice.
Gold Frap, Supernature.
Mm.
Opeth, Ghost Reveries.
Yes.
And Death Cab for Cutie, Plans. Oh. All came out that month. The only interesting bit of music news that I found that's not even that interesting was Suge Knight, the president of Death Row Records, getting shot in the leg at a MTV party.
From what I've heard about Suge Knight...
Suge Knight, that's it. I looked up how to pronounce his name earlier.
They should have... I don't know, I feel like he should have got shot more. Like he was.
He's not a nice dude, was he?
No, he's an absolute bellend from what I've gathered. You don't know where I live, Suge Knight. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
There was that also that month. There was the Reading and Leeds festivals, which I was at with Leah.
Apparently,
you've got a pink coat on. I remember that.
Yeah, so this is the pink coat that belonged to my sister for the purposes of. I mean, she was never going to ski, but she bought this really expensive ski coat. She's for the record, she's still never skied, but I wasn't allowed to touch it. It was very expensive. And I'd only packed three bikinis to wear all weekend, and then Chris picked me up and told me it was going to piss down.
It was not good weather.
Yeah, it was absolutely atrocious.
One of the main things I remember about that particular festival is we'd got our four tents sort of all facing each other, and then we'd built like covers with tarpaulins between them all because the weather was so fucking bad.
Oh.
But yeah, I've just remembered, you gave me a badge and a biscuit on my birthday.
I might have done. I didn't
you
remember
did.
That. Okay.
Wow.
But it was
happy birthday.
A badge.
Have a biscuit.
It was like a really specific badge. I don't know whether it. I think
did
it had my name
birthday?
On it. No, it.
Oh, okay.
Like,
happy birthday, Liam.
Or it was. I don't know. It was something that you'd picked up and you're like, I've had this for like 6 months.
because I couldn't remember when your birthday was.
Yeah, just carrying it around just on the off chance. But yeah, the coat got fucked.
Pixies, Iron Maiden and Foo Fighters were the headliners.
Foo Fighters again.
Foo Fighters being...
Oh, they're awful.
They headline nearly every year. They're one of the few bands I've heard of that are on this year's lineup.
Yep.
Are they? Oh, yeah. We watched The Tears instead.
I didn't. I watched... I can't remember who I watched that night. I think it might have been The Go Team. Yes, because I definitely saw Pixies that night, Go Team that night, and instead of Iron Maiden, I suddenly got dance music because I was watching LCD Sound System and ended up going to the dance tent afterwards.
Honestly,
and watching Milo, who was actually quite good.
But not watching Iron Maiden is a fucking sin.
I'd seen Iron Maiden before, I'd seen them afterwards.
I've seen them before, I'd see them again, like, relentlessly.
But there was also Dinosaur Jr., Iggy and the Stooges, Arcade Fire and Sleater-Kinney that weekend, who were all brilliant.
Yes, oh, I got offered a job in...
Sleater-Kinney.
Was it More Than Meat? I wish. What was the music shop on Bull Street in Birmingham?
I can't remember which one. Bull Street, is it Tempest?
No.
No. Oh, that the one, the big one.
Was it More Than Music?
Yes, it
was. Oh, sorry, I used to work.
Emma was the manager.
No, Music Junction.
Yes, that was it.
Music Junction. Oh, yeah.
Because I used to work there.
Very quick edit just to point out it was actually Music Zone, not More Than Music or Music Junction. It turns out neither me or Leah have a functioning memory.
Yeah, so I got offered a job there, and they asked me what I'd got in the charts, and I couldn't answer with anything. And so instead, I was like, but I just saw The Tears and Arcade Fire and went off and like, they offered me the job, and I was like, wicked, I've absolutely nailed it.
Okay, that's really weird. Their recruitment policy must be that they recruit people while at or just after Reading or Leeds Festival. Because when I got a job there, I got a phone call and offered the job while I was at Reading Festival.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the relevant piece of information in my case. I think the relevant thing was that I was interviewed by two guys and my shirt was unbuttoned, I discovered later.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I thought I'd nailed it by bringing it back around. Like, oh, well, listen to these
fans.
They probably thought
it was a very successful interview. I think we should probably start listening to the CD.
Yeah.
So let's go with track one.
Okay.
Reverse Live by Now It's Overhead.
It did not sound at all live.
It's right at the end of the song.
Yeah.
Really, really quietly.
You hear someone go.
You can hear the crowd, but it's the way it's recorded. There's no crowd mics whatsoever. You're just hearing a bit of crowd noise through the vocal mic.
It's basically pointless, isn't it? Really, as a live version.
Well, no, because that's way more powerful than the studio version on the album. It's a much better version.
That's more powerful.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Well, the drums are pretty powerful on it.
Yeah.
He's hitting that snare drum really hard. Whereas it's on the record, I've got the first two Now It's Overhead albums.
Okay.
They were on Saddle Creek Records. Saddle Creek Records.
I can now imagine why it doesn't sound as powerful then.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weak ass shit on that.
So. Andy LeMaster is the main dude who is, he's a producer, an engineer, and he was a member of Bright Eyes.
Not a very good producer, is he?
He's not a bad producer.
Okay.
He's produced some pretty good stuff. He's worked with Michael Stipe. I think he did some remixes for REM.
Is he the singer?
He is the singer.
Yeah. You can tell he likes Michael Stipe. Like, he's very... He kind of apes his delivery somewhat.
I think he's more Bono-like.
He starts off really... Like, that's what shocked me when I put the song back on. I was like, shit, this sounds like Bono. I don't know if I can live with that.
Yeah.
But I think it really changes. Like, I felt better as it went on.
I thought his voice was quite whiny.
It is a bit, but so can Bono be.
Well, yeah.
Fucking whiny.
But generally in between songs.
But I really like the drums on that, and I really like the synth coda at the end.
Yeah, like that bit where it started to sound like Nine Inch Nails and he stopped singing. It was
instrumental, that bit. So, he's not on there much. They also, in the band at that time, I don't think they were later on, half of the band was Maria Taylor and Arenda Fink, so that's Azure Ray, who are another. And that's part of the connection with Michael Stipe, because they're from Athens, Georgia, which is where REM are from. This CD has got, because it's Michael Stipe choosing all the tracks, and it's really sort of incestuous, interweaving,
nepotistic.
I don't know if it's nepotism. There's a lot of friends on there and stuff, but loads of the bands are connected to other. Like you'll get people that are on two or three tracks.
Yeah.
On this CD.
No idea.
Well, we'll find out as we go along. Do you want to go for the next track?
I'd just like it on the record that I didn't hate it, but
yeah,
like 50% of that was because there wasn't enough going on for me to hate.
Yeah.
But it was kind of shoegazy, and I dig that. I just didn't like his vocals.
I love.
No, he's never. I've always described Now It's Overhead as like the third or fourth tier Saddle Creek bands. I was on another podcast a while ago, the Pick a Disc podcast, talking about the Bright Eyes record, and I was likening various Saddle Creek bands to different members of the Avengers. So you've got like Bright Eyes is Iron Man and people like that. And they were definitely Hawkeye.
Don't diss Hawkeye, man.
But anyway.
Hawkeye's got powers too, and they're pretty sweet.
But I think the beauty of this album is that it's not a whole album of any of them. And I think that's a really relevant point, that I don't think I would ever listen to a Now It's Overhead album.
I've got two of their CDs, and I've very rarely listened to either of them. I only got the second one because I found a promo one for 50p in the record and tape exchange.
Fair it. Shall we proceed?
Indeed.
What have we got now? You know, the first thing, actually genuinely the only thing that irritated me about that, right?
So it was Karen Elson coming down.
Yeah, there's a tremolo effect on the guitar, and she is playing out of time with it.
Yes, but that's how generally tremolo used to be used, before tap tempo.
Yeah, you can play along with it, though, that's the thing. And
you can,
it's just her
and
not a drummer.
It was often not used that way.
What time period are we thinking, though?
50s. 50s and 60s.
When was this recorded?
2005.
So fuck off.
But no, she's going for that kind of vibe.
Honestly, I find it really hard to not play in time with the movement of things like delays and choruses and shit. So I don't understand people that can just do that.
I think it's relevant, though. This song... So this summer... I did quite a lot of moping around and crying. And the out of time tremolo.
This summer,
kind of,
2005.
Yeah, well.
Right, 2005.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Both.
It's a lifestyle choice, isn't it? that works for that. That was a lot of sitting around in uni halls going, what the fuck have I done? I hate all these people. And just weeping into bottles of gin, listening to that. And that out of time thing, it adds to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's also...
I mean, in fairness, the out of time just made me sad as well.
So I get it. She's more well known as a supermodel.
Oh.
Karen Elson is. Yes. I don't know much about supermodels, but apparently she's more well-known as a supermodel.
But even at the time of that Fringe, I mean, I know nobody listening could see it, but it's a hell of a mess.
Yes, I believe even at the time of that Fringe. She's married to, or she's not now, but at the time she was married to Jack White.
Oh.
So that may explain the 50s influence in the guitar tone.
I think she wrote it crying into a lot of gin, I think.
Well, wouldn't you if you were married to Jack White?
Yeah, fuck yes.
On purpose.
Yeah.
It's going to make you question basically everything about yourself.
I really, really like that track. I think she's got a really nice voice, and it's a really nice Fender-y guitar tone. I'm absolutely sure that's a Telecaster.
I'd have said so.
Into a... something like a Fender Princeton.
God, she put up with that prick for almost 10 years.
I think they've got, like, 2 kids or something.
Wow.
Yeah. She's in the Blue Orchid video.
Okay.
Which I think might
have
been
how he managed to end up with, Kate Moss?
Just
gyrating on that other song.
Possibly.
Swapped in one for a...
got one supermodel.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got any supermodel friends?
I don't want a pole dance in your video. My girl Kate, though, she'll
do
basically
absolutely
do
anything for some drugs.
She's done a lot of drugs.
She's got a couple
screen.
Of lines. Do you want to? She'll do anything, literally.
Shall we go on to the next one?
Yeah.
Cool. So that was Paper Cranes and Knew You When.
So is Paper Cranes a solo artist?
No, it's a band. It's the singer is Rain Phoenix, River's sister, who is a friend of Michael Stipe, hence her being on the CD. I really like that track. I really like the way it's recorded.
I like the fact that like it's got banjo in it, but not in a hillbilly kind of way.
Well, the way that they sound like they've recorded it is a couple of microphones in a room.
Yeah.
And then all the instruments sort of crowded around it. The drums are definitely room mics, and it's almost like you can hear as much of the room as the instruments.
Mm. That's how most music should be recorded.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, DI-ing some things works better. If you want no air in it at all, but there's so much air and space.
That's
in
what
it.
I love.
And yeah, I really. It's kind of a bit like when you see bluegrass type bands where they're playing a live gig and they're just all stood around a microphone.
Mm. Yeah.
And they just sort of move forward when they need to be louder and that kind of thing. It's pretty good.
Again, I don't think I could listen to more than 2 tracks of Paper Cranes, and I've never heard anything else.
So no.
No, like I feel like I know what they sound like now.
I'm done.
Do you like them? Yeah, they're alright.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever had much success outside of they're a kind of local thing.
Yeah.
And obviously Michael Stipe knows them because he was friends with River, he's friends with Rain, he's friends with Wardrobe Phoenix. There is a Leaf Phoenix.
Yeah, it's Wacken Phoenix is Leaf Phoenix.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that Wacken's real name? That's and he changed it to Wacken?
No, I looked this up the other day and it's like actually Wacken's his real name and then Leaf is like a taken name or something.
Oh, right,
like
okay.
That.
So is River Phoenix's real name like Jeff?
Tom.
from Wacken to Jeff, that's where you've got that.
Depends if they're older or younger. They might have run out. I can't remember which one's the oldest. I guess River, because he's been dead for nearly 30 years.
Mm. Yeah.
Should we go on to the next one?
Yeah.
Well, the high school kids, they're all fucked up, touching each other, oh my God, yeah.
What the fuck was that, Colin?
That was Tilly and the Wall, Knights of the Living Dead, live.
Honestly...
You a fan?
No. Like, at one point in time in this Faye wankathon of a fucking acoustic bullshit track, they said, I want to hear that fucking noise. Where?
And then said, I want to fuck it up.
They did fuck it up.
And really did, didn't they?
Utterly fucked it up. Like, literally the only saving grace of this band is the fact that they're all really pretty. Like, dudes are pretty, women are pretty.
Maybe that's why they ended up making such shit noise. Yeah. Nobody could tell them. They were just mesmerised.
Like, yeah, no, that's really good. I really liked it. Like, they only ever asked for the opinion of people of the opposite gender. Yeah. So they're like, yeah. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Can I buy you a drink? No?
Oh.
So.
You were shit!
I've put that they're like. Sounds like a shitter version of Bright Eyes. Because it really does. And in fact, two of them used to be in Bright Eyes.
Reject Bright Eyes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Neely, I can't remember what her surname is, one of the singers.
Neely.
She's the backing vocalist on the really early Bright Eyes stuff, and I think they've got a song called Neely O'Hara. Now, O'Hara isn't her surname, but I think it's about her.
They literally do all sound like backing vocalists.
Yeah. They do, don't they? And you would, while we were listening and not recording before, you said something about that it's like they've put the drummer to the back. Did you hear the percussion?
A little bit. It kind of came in a touch, didn't it?
What do you think they were using for percussion?
He was... Like, it was some improvised bullshit, like a bin lid or...
No.
Go on, then.
They don't have a drummer. They have a tap dancer.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
It's like, we're not quite twee enough. What can we do? How can we make this more twee?
So he just tap dances throughout their entire set?
Yes.
In time with them?
I've seen them live. They weren't very good. I'd not heard any of their songs before I heard them live. I just knew that they were signed to Team Love, which is Conor Oberst's label after Saddle Creek. And I thought, that's a recommendation enough. No, it really wasn't.
No,
it's dire. Fucking awful. Terrible.
That's him going, oh, man, they are my mates.
Absolutely. And again, I think they're on this CD because... I think Michael Stipe was a big Saddle Creek Records fan, like I was at the time.
So he's like, oh.
And they're Team Love was a sort of offshoot of that.
Yeah.
So they're all connected.
It would be super easy to be blinded by the friendship and, you know, all of the things surrounding them and just bypass the music because...
It is terrible.
Fucking God awful.
Do we put something else?
It was like sub Juno soundtrack bullshit.
It's definitely. Yeah. I think that's the actual genre that they're in that section in a record shop.
Yeah. Did you like the Juno soundtrack, but did you think it was just a bit too good?
I actually really like the Juno soundtrack.
So do I. Like, I listen to the Juno soundtrack a fucking load. Which is probably surprising to basically everyone, but.
Yeah.
Like, I really like that. I hate this.
Yeah, Kimmy Dawson's amazing.
Yes,
exactly. Definitely.
This is just dog shit. Let's see what else we've got.
Citizens band Je T'aime Scumbag.
I think there is almost certainly a French word for scumbag.
Probably.
This is very half-assed.
Well, but if that's someone's name...
Which it isn't.
In that context it is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. They... Do you think they like Amanda Palmer?
Yeah, potentially.
Quite possibly, but they are... It's a... Basically evolving theatre group with various different members, a lot of whom you'll have heard of.
Such as?
Well, firstly, one of the founding members was Karen Elson, who was on two tracks ago.
Okay, yeah.
But there's also been Rain Phoenix, who was on the track after that. Melissa Aftermath.
Okay.
Zoe Deschanel, Maggie Gyllenhaal. And Nina Persson from The Cardigans. Oh, and your man from Goggle Wardello's been in it as well.
None of that surprises me.
No, not at all.
It sounds super theatrical and...
It is.
I don't know, I just can't get behind music like that a lot of the time.
Apart from on the new Devin Townsend record.
That's very different.
See, I prefer that because it's a bit more Dresden Dolls.
Yeah. I hated it when I first listened to it. After many years, I think there's a place for it. Again,
no, there's a place for it.
It's just where you can't hear it.
In general, yes, it's precisely where I can't hear it. I can't slight it beyond that. It's just not my thing.
Fair enough. This is, we did discuss earlier before we were recording that the Spotify playlist for this particular episode,
it's gonna have fuck
it's probably already. Not gonna have much, because most of these tracks are exclusive to the CD.
But we now have two copies of the CD, right? So yeah. Somebody wants to tweet, then
yeah. First person to ask for a copy of the CD, you can have it.
So yeah, should we go on the next one?
Yes. So what was that then, Carl?
That was, the band is called Flash to Bang Time.
Which is a terrible name.
Do you know what it is?
No.
It's the time between a nuclear explosion and the wave hitting people.
And the song is actually about our favourite member of Steps.
H the President, yes. And it's a live version.
Again, you can't really tell that it's live. Not a lot of crowd noise going on.
I think you can
there.
With how messy it is. A little. I've not heard
maybe
the
you can
on that.
Like, honestly, it's all pretty messy to me.
So, Leah, you were saying something about like nepotism earlier. Vocalist is Linda Stipe.
Oh,
it's Michael Stipe's younger sister is the vocalist in this band. Vocalist and one of the cellists, because they've got two cello players. If you listen really, really carefully, you can just about hear a cello. Yeah. Occasionally in that song, but I really had to concentrate.
I've never noticed a cello.
Because I'd read that there were two cellists, I thought I'm going to actually find the cello. And it's really, really low in the mix later on, a little bit in the song.
But cellos can sound like other things. Like the entire of the Chernobyl soundtrack was done on cello, as far as I can tell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cellos are mostly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's in. If you're putting it through a pickup, you can. Put loads of effects on it and do weird things.
Yeah, in terms of the variety of noise you can just get out of it anyway compared to any other string instrument, it's much more versatile. And it's because I think one of the reasons is because it sits really well against the human vocal range, so it sings in that same way. Because we had a long conversation about this, probably that summer.
Really?
Because you were doing like a goth album and you were like, could you do some cello?
Yes.
And we had a long discussion about what cellos can and can't do.
This is entirely possible. I also think we were both drunk.
Probably. It's you two. I want all the drums to be made from cellos. Can't do that.
I probably wouldn't have disagreed with that, as it.
You could totally do that.
You probably could, actually. Yeah.
I quite dug that. It got a very 70s kind of vibe to it.
Susie and the Banshees was the main influence I was picking up there. So, yeah, it's sort of late 70s post-punk goth sort of.
Yeah, yeah, I liked it. It's kind of weird sci-fi vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got some cool analog synth kind of noises on it.
Kind of menacing in a not particularly menacing kind of way.
But I've gone off it a lot since the Linda Stipe thing.
Oh.
I liked it before you said that.
You're like, oh, no, fuck this.
Well, to be fair, you know, Michael Stipe could have had her supporting at every single gig and, you know, done a lot more publicity. Stick her on a CD once or twice.
Yeah.
I know, but it's just this whole CD is...
Yeah, well, Uncut Magazine asked him to pick a load of songs.
To curate an inbred CD. You can put anything you want on it, as long as it's fully inbred as much as possible.
There's at least one song on here that I don't think has a connection, but we'll
it
get
will
to
have
that later.
Nah.
The amount of times you see Steve Harris's children on the bill with Iron Maiden is ridiculous.
Yes.
Thankfully, Lauren seems to have stopped, but...
Yes, but I also saw her... So, I unfortunately got dragged to see Within Temptation once.
Jesus.
And Lauren Harris was the support there.
Mm.
And then later that summer, Iron Maiden were playing at Twickenham with Within Temptation on the bill and Lauren Harris.
Yeah.
And I think Lauren Harris got on that Within Temptation tour in a, if you'll let my daughter play, you can support Iron Maiden.
No doubt. Like, I saw Raven Age who were Steve Harris's son's band,
right,
supporting them in Gothenburg, and they were not good.
No.
Like, they weren't terrible, but they were, like, academy level at best.
The only redeeming feature I remember, in fact, the only thing I remember at all from Lauren Harris's set was the drummer looked exactly like a really, really enthusiastic Billy Idol.
Wow.
But possibly a little bit older than Billy Idol is now.
Jesus.
He looked like early 70s.
Like, you can't tell how old Billy Idol is because no. He basically looks like tanned leather. He's like like Tom Jones with a blonde crew cut.
He's like Biltong.
Yeah, like... basically is. Like, they're both jerky men. Billy Idol is the pale jerky man. Tom Jones is the kind of deeply tanned leather jerky man.
Could possibly add Tom Waits as another.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another dried meat product.
It's like the jerky boys, but these are the jerky men.
Yeah, they grew up to be.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's go for the next track.
Okay. Was the Chicks,
Mercedes Children,
which is a terrible song. Like, there's usually between the band name and the title, there's like an unforgivable, and Mercedes Children is a terrible song title.
Perhaps it's
like, are they about smart cars? Because they are Mercedes Children.
Well, I think it might be a song about Kitty, because one of them's called Mercedes, and they were children when they
maybe
released that.
Seems
album.
Unlikely though.
Or Hollyoaks. There's somebody called Mercedes in Hollyoaks.
Yeah, and I think she's actually had children.
I mean, you would think that's...
must have.
There's no apostrophe on there, though. It's not Mercedes's children.
But whoever put in the track listings on this...
could have done it.
Yeah, might be.
That's fair enough. So they are a sort of New Zealand garage rock type band, which there were absolutely loads of them at this... I think New Zealand's got a really tiny population, and I think at that point... you were either a hobbit or in a garage rock band.
Yeah.
Because you got the Datsuns, D4, Grand Cobra, and absolutely loads.
Had they just taken consignment of some music from the 70s and they'd never had it before?
Just had their first delivery of fuzz pedals.
Yeah, I reckon so. I've got a couple of mates from New Zealand. They don't get much.
In fact, they didn't quite understand them. Yes, it's definitely that. They just had these fuzz pedals arrive.
Yeah,
they didn't quite understand them. The Datsuns picked them up and went, harmonic generator. It's a modulator. No, it isn't. It's not a modulation tool.
Is that a Datsun song lyric reference? Because I gave zero fucks about them at the time. I feel like basically nothing's changed.
I saw them live. They were quite entertaining. Their first album's all right. But I don't think I've listened to it in... 15 years probably, something like that. These are they'd supported REM on tour, which is why they're on the CD.
But not related to the rest.
They're
of
not
this
related to anybody.
Tangled web of.
maybe Michael Stipe sent the fuzz pedals. Maybe that's the link. That
yeah, maybe he
was
did
the
that.
He was the instigator.
He was the catalyst.
This is basically like Game of Thrones in CD form, though, isn't it? Like, everyone's having sex with everyone. No one's killed anyone yet that we know of, but
well, this
maybe eventually.
There's another 8 tracks to go.
Jesus.
So let's go for
I'm
the
sorry
next
about
one.
That.
I knew this was going to come. I knew Vic would be on there. I love Vic Chestnut.
That's Arne Avis.
Yep.
Not as when I loaded it into my computer to rip the tracks earlier, Arne Mavis.
No.
Which is what came up from Discogs.
I love Vic. I can't say anything bad about Vic.
No, because he's fantastic.
Yep.
Wasn't there a band that had a song called Aunt Mavis?
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, it was one of those early. Yeah, it was. Mm. Definitely.
Like,
I can't remember who
what
they were.
Baby Bird or someone.
No,
like that.
It was like, oh.
Someone more cringy than
yeah, I think so.
Ooh.
Someone that isn't Vic Chestnut, so isn't as good, because Vic is fucking brilliant.
Yep.
Me and Ian's other podcast, We Dig Music, we did an episode on Vic Chestnut a while back. He's very, very
It was one of those few episodes where everyone was in total agreement that it's just he's just good.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was, which I didn't know when we recorded that, he was quite good friends with, there's a jam band called Widespread Panic.
Oh, I've heard of them, yeah.
Grateful Dead Fish kind of thing. And Aunt Avis was actually written for them.
Oh.
He wrote that and gave it to them, and then that's his own version that...
Oh, that's cool.
He recorded later on his, I think that's on his third album. Obviously, you said you knew that Vic was going to turn up on here. Michael Stipe produced his first two albums.
Yeah. Played on them as well.
And yeah, in an attempt to save his life, basically.
Yeah.
Because he saw him live and was like, this guy looks really depressed, I need to do something with him. Which he then later on, unsuccessfully, wanted to record an album with Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
And was booked into a studio for him to go when Kurt Cobain killed himself.
Wow.
So, yeah. Michael Stipe likes trying to save people. Yeah.
I mean, long term, he didn't save Vic either, did he?
No.
Unfortunately, but...
Well,
I feel like America failed Vic.
Absolutely.
Listen to our episode, find out why.
Yeah. I'll put a link in the podcast text.
Well, I'll have to listen
to
it as well.
You will.
No, we'll tell you in a minute. It's fine. Yeah. All right, next track.
Yeah.
So that was Magnapop, favourite writer live.
Yeah.
I've been listening to the CD in the car.
Yeah.
So I've not had the track listing in front of me, and I was absolutely sure she was singing Your Favourite Rider Died, and I only found out this morning when looking at it closer that it's Favourite Writer.
It's another song that is allegedly live, but the only way you can tell is because there's some really visible or audible mistakes.
It's a live radio session, so it may not have been in front of an audience.
It's wank, though. Again, right? Everyone in this band appears to be relatively attractive. I'm not saying anything about Michael Stipe's decision-making process, but he either knows them or finds them attractive.
He knows them.
Yeah.
He
produced their debut album. What do you think of this one, Leah?
Oh, it's really mediocre, isn't it? But again, this whole thing just takes me back to that one summer.
I quite like the track, to be honest. I don't mind it. I would definitely describe it as Tracy music for people that do listen to Weenig music.
Yeah, it's just very lo-fi in its production.
Yeah.
If she didn't have an American accent, I would think that was a, you know, C86 British indie band.
Yeah, the playing was on par.
Very much sort of twee, rudimentary sort of indie type pop.
Yep.
Anything else anyone wants to say about that one?
Another good track to be 19 years old to. Or, I mean, I was probably 18 when I bought it.
Yeah.
Magnapop, though.
Yeah.
There's
nothing
Magna about that.
I just keep thinking of Magna Park, which I think is a retail park in Nuneaton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's what they're named after. But more pop.
They're not very pop, though, are they?
They're indie pop.
Wanky.
Next one. So that was Hidden Song by Angela McCluskey.
It's not very well hidden, is it? Right there.
It is. It's labelled and everything.
Yep.
Did it really take all five of them to make that song?
I don't know.
Only in the second half.
Yeah.
Well, the vocals, they sound... It's really weird because they're sort of badly recorded.
Well, like, everything's super tinny to start off with, so I was like, oh, well, it's either terrible production or going for a thing, and then things... come
exactly.
in and it's like, oh, they weren't going for a thing, but the vocals are always really tinny. The main vocal
the vocals were recorded in her kitchen. No, I think it was a demo.
Yeah.
And then they built other stuff on top of it.
They should definitely have re-recorded it. Yeah.
But I
like it the way it is.
Yeah.
I think the vocals should have changed into better recorded vocals when the rest of it comes in.
But it was definitely a conscious decision, because the rest of the album I decided to have a listen to.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, because it is noticeably the most lo-fi recording on the entire CD.
Yeah.
Even when you've got Tilly in the Wall and people like that on there. Until it builds up, obviously, later on. But the rest of the record is really, really pristine and well produced.
Oh.
It's a little bit overproduced, to be honest. Everything else on there was just a little bit dull and sort of mainstream, but I really like that track.
No, this is, like, other than Vic, this is my favourite so far.
I think the recording thing is so individual, because I love really lo-fi things, but this like 2005 was also a lot of people doing shit for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Oh, we recorded it all on this microphone that we threw out the window, and you know, and people would, and obviously the White Stripes were big on kind of, oh, you know, really arsehole-y. I recorded it all on a lapel mic for no fucking reason.
Yep.
And genuine 60s dust.
Oh, just and just cringy shit, but I think that one comes off, but I think it is a very fine line.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I remember reading something with Jack White about that, like, I will never use a proper digital recording studio and stuff. And I was like, why? Why would you not want it to sound great if you wanted that?
Well,
like,
why
would you deliberately want something to sound
I can
shit?
Dig analogue warmth and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but, like, you've heard loads of things recorded on tape that sound good.
Yeah.
Not his.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the point. He doesn't want to use proper recording techniques, because then it shows up what's shit about it.
Yeah.
You can't hide behind it.
Well, you could basically always hear that Meg White was shit.
Oh, well, that was... You only had to look at her. Oh,
also, he used a fucking Digitech whammy pedal, which is, like, the most digital-sounding thing ever.
Yeah.
Which completely destroys any argument he's ever had like that. Should we put the next one on?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Let's do that.
Was it Leona Naes or Naes?
I don't think that's how she pronounces it.
It's spelled N-A-E-S-S.
I like nice.
Nice. No Boys live. It's another live track.
Yep.
The only track on the CD, as far as I can tell, with no obvious Michael Stipe connection. I think he just liked it. As do I. It's best
perfect
song on the CD.
I'll
tell you what, right? There's some of those vocal lines that sound like Under Pressure.
Yes, you're right.
When she's going...
Yes, it is a similar melody, definitely. But the arrangement of it, you've got acoustic guitar, female vocals, piano, and there's, I think it's either a string trio or quartet on there.
Yeah.
And it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, no, it's very nice. And it's very, very film soundtracky.
And that song...
Something sad is happening in a film. A girl is sad. That's what I think.
But
it was soundtracking me being a girl being sad in a really shit flat and no money.
Was somebody filming you? Did you...
God help them if they were.
Leah the movie.
As I've mentioned earlier, there was a lot of sleeping on floors with chips in my hair, so I'm not sure who would have watched that film.
I don't think you mentioned that on mic earlier.
No, I didn't. No.
Well, now you have.
It's a good look, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mostly woke up with my head next to the bin with the chips, kind of. I once woke up with chips in my pockets.
That's a good place for chips.
Nice.
Well, better than my hair, right?
Might want these chips later. It's going to pop them in my pocket.
Yeah. I want these chips when I'm sitting outside.
Are we talking like trouser pocket or shirt pocket or what? Because that makes a difference.
I think a shirt... I think it was my Weatherspoon's shirt. And so you only had a top pocket, which was normally where I put my tips.
It's got to be really careful how you say it.
Yeah.
And my chips.
Yeah,
tips and chips.
If you,
of course,
somebody offered you like a prawn-based crisp type thing, would you put your skips in there as well?
Oh,
Jesus, honestly.
Oh, you could put like some hummus in there.
Dips.
Keeping your dips in there.
Yep. Chips, tips, dips. Skips.
I did. Oh, but you weren't allowed tips. So somebody threw a glass of rosé wine over me.
Seriously, fuck Wetherspoons.
Oh no,
Brexit,
so,
you cunt.
But then the manager watched me change my shirt, so I had to like.
I'm guessing
ask the manager to leave because
no, it
shouldn't
was a woman.
Have been watching.
It was
right,
a woman.
Okay.
But so you weren't allowed tips, so I had to take the shirt off, holding the boob where all the money was, and then wrap the shirt around my hand with the money in the boob to so that she didn't know that my pocket was full of money.
What you probably should have done is put some chips on top of it.
I'm just going to empty my metal chips out. It's weird if they clank, but it's just the way I've cooked them.
Robot chips.
But yeah, for current Wetherspoon stuff, I think that's. I think they changed the. I don't think you have a pocket anymore. That's
right. That's probably
they're terrible
why.
People. Mm-hmm.
People kept putting chips in them. That particular song, I've looked because I absolutely love that song, and it's only available on this particular CD.
No. Wow. It's,
even a studio version. I don't think the studio version exists. So it's not on any of her albums. I looked through Discogs because I was like, I'm going to buy the album that that's on,
yeah.
And it's not on any of them. So it is worth owning this particular CD just for that. So when Ian was like telling people if they email in and we'll give it away, fuck off, it's mine.
I've now got it on my phone, my work laptop, my real laptop.
So Leah's
so, yeah, yeah, my copy is potentially up for grabs.
Cool. We'll send them you away. Shall we go on to
although
the
now you've said that. Yep. No, fuck them.
Yeah, yeah. Buy it off Discogs, there'll be a link. Next track.
Picture you in the sun, wondering what went wrong. Falling down on your knees, asking for sympathy.
That was Joseph Arthur, or Joseph Fuck Off
yeah.
Arthur.
Can't
in
trust
stone.
Someone that can't pick a first name and a surname. I just want two first names.
So that was In the Sun live. I've got written on my notes here, sub Bluntian bollocks, fuck off.
And who doesn't clean their fingernails when they're having a fucking photo
the
shoot?
People can't
no,
see
that.
I know,
look,
but it's rank.
He
I mean,
wants to look like workmanlike.
Yeah, bullshit.
Which is basically how I would describe that song. Workmanlike. functional.
It didn't. No, it's not functional.
It functions
no.
as a song. It functioned.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Like, I fucking hate it. It was shit.
God, I hated that. It was.
But, you know, it wasn't avant-garde free jazz.
It
so
was on.
As far as song structures go, it was there.
I'd rather listen to avant-garde free jazz.
Well, yeah, I mean, same. But, like, there's a verse, there's a chorus, he's singing.
So, at the time, this was on some fucking... You know those really shit abstract fucking perfume commercial
yeah.
type things?
Oh.
And this is... It's the only time I remember hearing that song, and it was just the opening...
Was it not
lyric.
Like when someone died in Scrubs or
it
Grey's Anatomy?
It has been in an episode of Scrubs, but it's not one I've seen.
It does not shock me. I've seen all episodes of Scrubs, and it did
yeah.
sound kind of Scrubsian.
Like,
I love Scrubs, but they made some really solidly terrible decisions on what music to put on.
It's the first time I've noticed as well. It's 6.5 minutes long.
It is. Which is it's 6 minutes and 36 seconds, which is 6 minutes and 38 seconds.
How far did we make it through before I was like, no, but is this it?
1 minute and 6 seconds, which is longer than we should have done.
Yeah, I like to give it a chance to see whether it will, you know, swell into a majestic arrangement. It didn't. There was a few strings on there, which
no,
added.
It was all guitar.
No, there were strings. There was definitely strings.
No, it was his guitar.
Really?
Yeah, it's totally solo with a loop pedal.
Maybe my brain. Added
things
in.
To try and make it sound better. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, we might have to listen to more than a minute of this. Let's make the arrangement more exciting.
Yeah.
There we go.
Failed.
I really
now.
Like the bit with the screaming child that obscured the rest of the noise. No, that was your addition.
So the CD inlay, it's got like the credits for each of the tracks where you know it tells you
yeah.
And most of the live ones, it just says recorded live.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it will say where it was. This particular one, it says recorded live by Graham Patterson. Why the fuck would Graham Patterson want a credit? Because it's so badly recorded. The levels are right up. It's fucking higher level than everything else. So it must have been peaking red on the fucking desk as he was recording it. It's really fucking inept. And it's just shit. And Joseph Arthur, fuck off. I hate
Who is Graham Patterson?
He's the guy that badly recorded that song.
Okay, cool.
Hopefully he never worked again. Because, seriously, fuck off. Let's put the next track
on. He probably did work again, though. Like, I bet.
He shouldn't have. I'm going to get a time machine.
Well, maybe he just followed people with only first names around.
Yeah, yeah.
And just fucked up their recordings. Maybe that was his subversive way.
Yeah.
Of making music less bad.
Unfortunately, I think that guy
get a fucking surname. I'm going to ruin your recordings.
But Michael Stipe obviously thought that was a really good song because he not only put it on this CD, but he actually recorded his own cover of it. With him and Chris Martin, so it was obviously not a fucking... Dear.
So that was a cash cow, then?
It was for a charity CD, so yeah, it would have been, let's make lots of money for this.
Poor charity, what?
Like, imagine, yeah, that's it, he's sat there, and someone's like, do you want to do a charity song? And he's like, yeah, I'm a good person, I like to do it. Do you want to do it with Chris Martin? Less so, but okay. Do you want to record this Joseph Arthur song? Fucking what?
But what about the poor charity? Were they like, oh no, no win, we've got standards.
Now,
could you take this back?
Think about things here. What was number one in both the single and the album charts at the time this was recorded?
The general
public in 2005 had no fucking taste. So we'll have bought it in droves.
What's the number one song now?
I don't actually know.
I feel like you just... You're dissing 2005 general public when we just don't know what's happening now.
You don't need to know anymore.
No.
We've got more choice. We're not bombarded by this shit. You know.
It's very true.
To be fair, I was never bombarded by first name, whoever it was.
He doesn't look like he can bombard it with a fucking paper bag, does he? How did you escape? Well, I played a song so fucking depressing that I cried and the paper bag disintegrated. That's the only way I could get out.
Right, so we need...
wept at my own fucking shitness.
What you're saying is it's a plastic bag we need to put over his head. Noted.
Yes, okay. So then he can't breathe, so he can't sing.
That works for me. Plans to murder Joseph Arthur. Let's go for the next song.
All right, then. This is our most actual famous person on this CD, right?
Yeah, Patti Smith with a song called Wing.
I feel like they should probably stop putting live in brackets on this CD and put not live on
it. Not live for the ones that aren't, yeah. Because the next two tracks are also live, so there we go. I just won't say live after that next time.
I've heard a lot of positive things about Patti Smith. I know Rollins loves Patti Smith. This is really dull. Like, is her other stuff better?
She's definitely got better stuff from the 70s. This was a 90s track, I think.
But I didn't think I liked Patti Smith before I heard this song. And then I got
into
her.
Did this get you into her?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like her voice. And like, I don't dislike the song. It's just a bit fucking dull.
Yeah, but some of her more popular stuff, you don't get any of her voice. So I was like, oh, no. You know, like... Here's what you were talking about, was it Tom's episode? And you're like, are you really singing like that on purpose? Like, she's got a bit of that sometimes.
Yeah.
And
oh, Garbo, then. That would be
yeah,
Garbo.
Yeah.
So going through that to get to the other stuff. It was oh, God.
Yeah, I just went off on a Garbo rant on that one. I know.
But yeah, I realised, actually, she's not just a dick. She can sing.
I always feel like I should like Patti Smith more than I do.
Yeah.
One day I think I'm going to do a deep dive and put the effort in and probably get into it. At the moment, that hasn't happened yet.
Mm.
This particular track is really fucking boring.
Yeah.
You know, Horses and Easter are supposedly really good
albums.
The bits that I've heard of them are pretty good. But I've never properly sat down and listened to the full things. She's massively influential. She's Michael Stipe's biggest influence ever.
Yeah.
You know, he formed REM after having a 3-hour long conversation about Patti Smith with Peter Buck in the record shop that he works.
See, the fact that you could talk about her for 3 hours suggests that she's done stuff that sounds completely unlike this song.
Well, that would have been 15 years before this particular song was recorded, even.
Yeah.
But I've still never quite got it, even though. So I thought it was completely alien, I was never going to get it. And then I heard this song and thought, oh, there is some stuff, but still, you know, if it was Desert Island Discs, The Waves Are Coming Time, you wouldn't be going back for Patti Smith.
Fair.
Next one.
If you hate the taste of wine, what do you drink it till you're blind?
So that was Bright Eyes, We Are Nowhere and It's Now.
Okay.
Not the studio version.
Obvs. I imagine it sounds basically exactly like the studio version, though.
The studio version has Emmylou Harris on harmony vocals.
Ah, there you go.
Which this one does not. Yeah, there's about 3 or 4 songs on I'm Wide Awake It's Morning that Emmylou Harris is on.
Well, there you go, then.
Oh, I feel a bit worse about disliking them. Then
I will fight you.
They're not very good, Colin.
They are.
They're not.
I love Bright Eyes.
Someone at an acoustic night told me that I sounded kind of like the dude from Bright Eyes. I don't think I do.
Well, people say our voices sound similar. Not our singing voices.
No, our singing voices are very fucking dissimilar, I think.
And I definitely used to sound like Conor O'Byrne, because that's how I got into Bright Eyes, by somebody telling me that I sounded like them and me checking them out.
Who was it?
I think it was Liz.
Ah. I was going to say, it was... what's his name? That dude who used to come to acoustic nights and now lives in Cornwall. Gavin?
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he told me, and I was like, are you sure?
It's just... No, it's that like, era of you can sing acoustically and you're a guy. And that's why I'm so surprised that you didn't know that song, because if you're a girl who plays open mic nights... It's like a genetic thing you have to know. And I hate them. And I still know all of their songs of that era. Like, on the back of my eyelids. It's
good. They're to torture you for not liking them. I like Bright Eyes. I think they're good.
Because it's like, you know, you play enough acoustic guitar and suddenly it just falls into your brain, whether you like it or not. Yeah, it's just... It's obligatory. Yeah.
See, therefore I have obviously not played enough acoustic guitar.
Yeah, don't be careful. It's coming.
That, also, when Ian used to occasionally play acoustic open mic nights, it was usually goth covers of Lionel Richie songs or Nick Cave covers.
That cover version of the Lionel Richie song was the most stalkerish cover version of Hello that anyone's ever done. I'm pretty confident in that.
It was pretty good.
I do Clutch covers as well.
Oh yeah, true. Let's go for the next song.
Basically a lot more rock and roll as an acoustic player than the majority of acoustic players, I think.
Boy in the Well, live.
Yeah.
I know I said earlier that the Leona Nair track was the only track with no obvious Stipe connection. I can't think of one with this one.
No, there's no obvious
Michael Stipe connection in REM.
What, did any of the other CDs feature REM tracks?
They all had this one on, which was slightly less of a dick move. I did think when I first looked at it and thought, so there's an exclusive live REM track, I bet they've put two different REM live tracks, which obviously then completists would be.
But if it's all the same one, that's not.
It's the same one on all three.
That's
all
right.
slightly less of a dick move, but it's still a fucking dick move. Uncut Gems.
Like
dick move.
I quite like it. It's got that Peter Buck thing where he like strums a chord and then slides up to another chord, which is that's very his style of.
Oh yeah, and I've totally nicked that.
I do it all the time as well. I really like it. It's a nice stylistic device.
Yeah,
that I dig.
I would say that is a fairly good REM album track.
Yes.
Rather than
not like, oh my god, this is mind blowing.
Yeah. You're not going to, you know, stick it on a best.
No, it's not like when you go out of your way to find Deep by Nine Inch Nails because it's a fucking stellar track or anything. Yeah. No. It's like you go out of your way to find it, and it's like. Oh, I'm trying to think of it. I shouldn't have gone with Nine Inch Nails because I can't think of a Nine Inch Nails album track, really. They're all good. But you know what I mean. Like.
But again, this Something song is the right one in the context of the rest of the album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think as a curated thing, it works, but there's probably, and not one of them, as, and I have gone back to this album over the years, there's not one band where I've gone, do you know what? What I really need to do is buy all the rest of their back catalogue.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to be awful if you do that. But like,
yeah, it's just like I've listened to the one song and I feel like I'm done with them now.
Yeah, good. Now I know what that is. Yeah. Tick. Yep. Silly in the wall. Don't have to do that again.
Sadly, I think that as far like someone will say Tilly in the Wall and I'll be like, I know that name, and that will be it. Like,
so I think
which has unfortunately led me to accidentally listen to these bands again because I'm just like
trying to remind yourself. Yeah,
like I must know the name because they're good. No, it's because fucking someone's talked about them.
Tried to forget them
On the podcast, and now I have to listen to them. And I'm like, oh, and that's where I know it from.
Yeah, I forgot to mention it earlier when I said that I'd seen Tilly in the Wall live. It was at Reading Festival.
Yeah.
I looked up what stage they were on earlier. And they were on the comedy stage.
Well, I mean,
it's comedy and cabaret, but
comedy,
I think that might have been the they've got a tap dancer instead of a drummer. We ain't putting you on a proper stage. Fuck off.
Oh, that was Tilly and the Wall.
Yes.
Yeah, the tap dancing people.
Fuck
but
those.
This CD, it goes up to Leona and then back down again, and that's it. She's the high point. That's fine. For me.
Yeah, it's definitely the best track, absolutely.
I'd honestly be hard push to pick
a favourite,
yeah,
because you love it all so much.
Yeah.
Like, I could definitely pick worst, you know, like I hated that one the most, and then that one.
Which
actually,
one
no,
you
know what,
most?
Right? I hated the Joseph Arthur one the most,
yeah.
But then,
because he's a cunt,
then you reminded me that Tilly and the Wall had a tap dancer, and I now hate that one more. Because just fuck off.
Imagine Joseph Arthur with a tap dancer.
I feel like if he thought it would sell records, he'd have done it.
Yeah, probably. It's probably quite difficult to mic it up for his looper.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know, I've mic'd up a floor before.
Yeah. Excellent.
Because I once recorded an Appalachian step dancing group.
Oh, but did you use like a floor, like a... what? So you
I put a 58 on the floor.
Oh, okay.
Because you can get floor mics.
Yeah, yeah.
For, like,
what situation
meetings?
Was it where you needed to record an Appalachian floor
Media
dancing?
Studies.
Okay. Oh,
I had to. Everyone had to sort out a placement week. I failed miserably. There were about four of us that also failed miserably, and they were like, "Right, well, this Appalachian step dancing group wants a promo video made, so
in Tamworth?
You're doing it now." No, Sutton. That,
oh,
I don't know where they came from.
Oh, of course,
Sutton Coldfield would have an Appalachian.
I don't know whether they were from
Sutton Coldfield.
They probably
paid for them to fly in.
I don't really even know where the connection came.
The council was probably just rolling in cash.
Yeah.
What have we never had?
This was the 90s, wasn't it?
And like the musicians were like, the guy, there was a violinist and an acoustic guitarist, and they were like, oh yeah, can we have some monitoring? Like, what? No.
Did you just record somebody clapping and then just like, sent it down to them? You don't know.
What you want for your monitoring is to be able to hear your acoustic instrument louder. Lean forwards slightly towards it. You violin player, you're holding it next to your fucking ear, you dick. Anyway, sorry.
So that's it for that CD.
Yes.
Worth buying for one track. There's some other good tracks on there, but one track in particular, is definitely worth tracking it down for.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's one track on there that I'd pay 40 pence for. Maybe.
What did you pay for it?
It's a couple of quid on Discogs.
Because I think you bought your copy, and then I think they, like, upped the prices. Like, because I went over, and it was, I think it was, like, £4 or £5. I was borderline just not going to go for it.
There's one guy that's got about six of them and one sold, and he's like, now is my time.
Well, particularly when he saw two of them sell.
Yeah, yeah. They're probably, like, £10 now.
He's probably got the other ones, as the CD 1 and CD 3.
He's just waiting.
Why are these not selling?
Maybe
he's wrapped them up. He's got like both of your names on them. I know they're going to buy these.
They must want the complete set. So, Leah, is there anything you want to like plug or anything?
Absolutely not.
No.
One of these days, we're going to have someone on this show that's got something to plug.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We probably should have asked you that in advance, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I could have said.
What about Mosalele?
Because
I can cut this if not.
So, well, it's not going to go out in time, but our summer sing-along is going to happen on Thursday.
It's definitely not going out in time. Maybe next year.
Maybe a more generic
But it happens every
play.
Year where 300 pissed 30-year-olds get on tables and fall over until we do Bonnie Tyler repeatedly. It's brilliant.
Fantastic. Basically, it's a ukulele group in Moseley, hence the name.
I thought that was self-explanatory because... Everyone would make that link to a small suburb in Birmingham
possibly.
And play the ukulele.
Yeah.
Yeah, apart from people that don't know where Moseley is.
It's true.
Come on. Isn't it? Like, wasn't it voted like the best place to live?
Probably.
Not that we can't afford to live there, incidentally.
No.
Maybe it was, I don't know. I mean, we're
I think by the Telegraph.
From the Jewellery Quarter, which is a significantly classier neighbourhood. Thank you very
but
much.
Not according to the Telegraph.
What the fuck do they know?
It's a Tory graph. Fuck them.
Fucking 5 years late to the party about that one.
So, thanks for listening. Bye.
I think I'm going to be doing virus bingo
virus
at Coco Mad Festival.
I don't think I want to win that.
Your prize, Anthrax.
It's not, that's a bacterium, for God's sake.
Honestly, I don't know.